Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Oddcast the Podcast, or A World Empowered Dialogues. Here at A World Empowered, we have a philanthropic vision. We have a vision of the world where all women, men, and children are empowered. Empowered to speak their truth, empowered to be themselves, empowered to provide for their needs, and protect and heal the environment. Every week we bring in inspiring guests and thought leaders, founders of nonprofits around the globe, to share a message of hope and to inoculate people with the belief that they can make a difference. To share their stories of struggle and trauma and where they've come from and what they've decided to create and contribute to the world. We're adults here having adult conversations, so often there's adult language involved, but we want to thank you for being a part of this and for sharing the message and for tuning in. So get ready for another inspiring conversation with another thought leader and get ready to get odd. And we are officially live. Some minor technical difficulties, but it looks like we're up and running.
Yay.
How are you today, Nora?
Fantastic. I know, right?
Yes. We figured it out.
Yay.
And it looks like we're streaming. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. I get to sit here today with my good friend, Nora. Nora and I have known each other for about 5 years now, 6 years, I'd say.
Yeah.
Amazing sound healer, energy healer, Reiki professional, and just kind and gentle soul. I'm going to read to you her bio. Nora started Pursuit of Vitality with a deep-rooted passion to help teenagers find alternative treatment options for healing their trauma. Having personally experienced debilitating pain and being unable to find effective solutions within the mainstream channel, she turned to natural remedies and began her own journey towards natural healing. In this process, Nora came to the realization that talk therapy alone is not enough for a true healing and a holistic process. Her dream is to offer humanity a comprehensive approach to healing, one that addresses their physical, emotional, and mental well-being by providing alternative treatment options. She aims to empower them to avoid the path of addiction and self-destruction. Through the pursuit of vitality, she is able to combine her personal experience with her experience in natural remedies to create a safe and nurturing space for people to heal. My favorite description comes from the testimonial from your website from Laura G. Laura said, "I came across Nora when I was very broken and had a lot of trauma in my body and mind that I was storing. I was insecure, full of fear and pain and sadness. I had it all. She is a walking angel and has taken me by the hands and removed all these layers and has brought me to the woman that I am today. I trust her and she's amazing." So thank you very much for taking your time to meet with me today. And I'm very excited for the conversation that we're about to have.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself? Who are you, Nora?
Yeah, who am I? That's a loaded question. I am, first and foremost, a mother of two beautiful teenagers. And I am an integrative health professional. I enjoy very much exploring any and all things holistic. I am a sound healer recently. Just finished my 200-hour training in sound healing.
Nice. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you.
I bet that was quite a process.
Yes, it was. I am a craniosacral therapist. I work with all ages, from pediatrics to geriatric. I think that modality and gentian, along with the sound healing, are my favorite.
So why?
They're the most effective.
Okay.
Yep.
What other things have you tried that didn't work out or didn't have quite the same impact?
Oh my gosh, the list is extensive.
Yeah,
I have literally tried just about everything. Mm-hmm. I think the thing I didn't feel like were as effective as I had hoped were massage therapy.
Okay.
I needed a more gentle approach, which is what craniosacral offers. Breath work was mm-hmm. also a really effective way of addressing body, mind, and spirit. But I think that having the right breath work is important. What else wasn't effective? Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's a great question.
I've suffered through addiction and depression and suicidal ideation since my early teenage years, and tried a lot of different modalities. And there's only been a handful that have been effective for me. Qigong being one, being able to clear energies that aren't mine, get rid of the energies that are, but unhealthy and dense and bringing me down. And then the ability to cultivate and basically curate and empower the energies that are, as well as EMDR, that helped me a lot. And now I feel like I am who I'm meant to be. And when I have down days, I know the tools and tricks and tips and things to help me get back to who I am. So I get the sense that you've had some trauma in your personal life as well. And I was wondering if you'd be willing to share any of that with the audience and what your journey has been like getting to where you are today.
Sure. So I grew up with a manic depressed, senile squalor syndrome parent. Mm. Senile squalor syndrome is somebody who hoards trash, self-neglect. It's very extreme. So as a child, I was pretty neglected, as you could imagine.
Yeah.
I went through every type of trauma as a child, physical, mental, spiritual. I found myself on my own. Actually, I was removed from my home age 11 and 12. And then I found myself on my own at age 16.
Child Protective Services actually had to come in.
Child Protective Services removed me from my home twice as a child. One time because I was getting in a lot of trouble.
Okay. Acting out. I mean, when you don't get the attention and you're neglected, they say that bad attention is better than no attention. So that seems to be pretty normal. Carry on.
Yeah, very true. And then from there, I found myself wrapped up in addiction and abusive, toxic relationships, physically, mentally, spiritually. I spent 7 years in extremely abusive relationships, and then I was pretty much on my way out. I was just ready to do whatever it took to find my way anywhere but here. And that's when I was told I couldn't have children, and I was riddled with tumors all throughout my body, and so I got off birth control. And lo and behold,
why be on this crap if I can't have them anyway?
Right, exactly. And
next thing you know,
yep, a month later, I was pregnant. My son saved my life. Mm. I firmly attest to that. God knew that that was the only way to keep me here.
Mm. How so?
Because I had nothing. I had nothing. No, like just nothing within me that wanted to be here.
You finally had a reason outside of yourself to heal and improve and become the person that you were meant to be. And it was that one thing alone that started you on that journey.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we often don't get outside our comfort zone. We don't do the things that are necessary until we don't have a choice, right?
Right.
When things become so dire that it literally is life or death, and it forces us to actually start to take the actions that we know. So what was your first step when you realized that, okay, I'm going to be a mom now, fix some of this shit? Like, what was your first step on your journey to healing?
Well, the first step was actually being forced.
Okay.
Being forced into recovery. Okay. That looked like, you know, group therapy and dropping UAs and talk therapy individually as well. And then treatment therapy, which none of that really did anything until I landed in domestic violence therapy.
Yeah. A lot of people swear by it. I've got an aunt who's a psychiatrist, another aunt who's a psychologist. I've got several friends with PhDs in psychology and psychiatry. I've just never been a huge fan of that talk therapy modality. And to me, it always felt like I was, like when we carve our names into a tree, it always felt like I was hardwiring that trauma in deeper and deeper every time I spoke it to reality. And it just didn't seem effective. In fact, for me, it felt counterproductive. I always left every session feeling worse, like I had just gone through it again.
Right.
So what was the first thing that you found that helped?
Well, so fast forward, I was sober.
That helps.
Yeah, definitely.
What was your addiction choice, if you don't mind me asking?
Meth.
Mine as well.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing to break. Nasty,
gross. Yeah, it's really hard.
I don't know what it was about my metabolism or what. The very first time I did it, I was addicted forever. Because I think I did my first bump at like 8:30 in the morning, and I wasn't able to sleep that night. For whatever reason, I had friends that could do a line at 8, 10, 12 o'clock at night, go to sleep by 2 and be up by 6 and still functioning. For me, I did some at 8 o'clock in the morning and I couldn't sleep that night. I was up the entire night, and then the next day I have to go into work, and it's like, how do I make it through this 10-hour work day? So what did I do? I did more. Well, I couldn't sleep that night. And it's just this vicious cycle. And there are still times now that I wake up tired and I think about it. Has that entirely left?
Entirely.
Yeah.
Entirely. Yeah. I've been sober for 15 years. Yeah,
it's been about that for me, maybe 17.
Yeah. I don't have any cravings for it. I don't have any thoughts of it. I knew that I was really done with it when I got my ex-husband using, and I could destroy it without thought, you know.
He wasn't like, God, some.
The very first time I was like, oh, okay, get high for the weekend. And the second thought popped in my head, I took a hammer and smashed the pipe. And that part then is so empowered, which I love that word, right?
Right.
That's why we're here.
I'm a little bit about that.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of who I am, right?
So, I will say that the dreams haunted me for some time. It took about 6 years before I got having the dreams and any of the cravings, but I've been free of that. Like,
so what got you started?
Well, there's some foremost, like, the fact that if I lost, I was a mom, and if I lost custody of my son, because I had lost custody of my son twice, and if I had lost custody of my son a third time, that was it for me. Yeah, so that was really the motivation behind it, but ultimately it was, I got tired. There was less pros than there were, less pros than there were cons.
Right.
And so when that became my reality, there's nothing about this that is enticing to me anymore. I knew that I was safe to move on from it.
And the refusal to perpetuate the family history, the refusal to put your child through the same life that you grew up in.
Yeah.
Shit, I had a thought and it just escaped me. Oh, I often talk about, it's easy to quit any addiction when we can make the pain of the alternative more painful than the act.
Yeah.
So quitting an addiction, whether it's drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, shopping, meth, or heroin, is a really often painful process. Right. Like, you go through actual physical withdrawals. It is a painful process. You lose almost all of your friends because, you know, when you're in that environment, that's who your friends are. They're usually the people that you're partaking with.
Right.
So you lose your whole social network. It's really hard. But if you can make the pain of the alternative more painful than the act, then we can quit almost anything.
Absolutely.
So for me, I was sitting on the park bench at 6-7 o'clock at night, one hot August evening. And this was the place that I would go to remind myself that there was still some joy in the world. You know, I was deep in the pits of despair. I felt alone and isolated. When you're an addict and you're starting fights and you're stealing from your friends and you're a habitual liar, you don't have any really close relationships anymore. So I felt alone and destitute. And I would go to this park and I would sit there and watch kids playing tag and hide and seek and soccer and flying kites and fishing in the ponds. This was my happy place to remind myself was still some joy in the world. And I would just go sit there and say, there's something good that still exists. And one hot August evening, I'm sitting on this park bench and there's nobody in this park. Mm-hmm. I already felt completely alone, isolated, and destitute. I already lost everything and everyone that I ever cared about. And I start to tear up. And something spoke to me in a way that reverberated and echoed in every cell of my being. It wasn't my subconsciousness. I was intimately familiar with the voices in my head. Sure. It wasn't in my head. It wasn't audible. But it spoke in a way that echoed in my mitochondria, like in the DNA of my cells. And it said, if you don't stop what you're doing, you're going to get back.
Oh, dang. Wow.
In that moment, I got a vision of the alternative. What would happen to me in my life if I didn't quit, if I didn't turn around, do an about face and start walking 180 degrees in a different direction, what was going to happen to me? And that was more painful than the act of quitting. In that moment, that voice spoke to me and said, if you don't stop what you're doing, we're going to take it back. I was done because I made the pain of the alternative more painful than the act. Yeah. It sounds like you went through a similar situation when you finally decided, if I don't get my shit together, if I don't get my act together and turn an about face 180 degrees in a different direction, that your life, your son was going to be over and subsequently probably yours. Can you tell us a little bit about what that come to Jesus moment, what that felt like for you?
It felt just very, like, in my core, solid. Like, I just knew in that moment that I was done. Like, there wasn't an alternative. The pain was definitely far greater continuing down that path than the alternative. I knew that you have three choices. You're going to end up dead. You're going to end up in jail, or you're going to get sober. Mm-hmm. Like, that was it. Mm-hmm. So.
Were there a series of events that led up to this?
I had a huge blowout.
Okay.
With my partner. I actually, I broke my ankle and yeah, ended up on crutches. Okay. And we got in a huge fight. And it was so escalated that there was the potential that the police were going to show up. Mm. And I knew in that moment that if the police showed up and they looked at our history and I got drug tested, and my son would be, and my daughter at that point, they would both be pulled from my care. Now I'd gotten sober on and off, you know, throughout the years, but that moment in time, just that feeling of complete loneliness and despair was so much so that I could never make that choice to go forward with that lifestyle.
It sounds a little bit like you might have even scared yourself as to, you know, what you were capable of. Like, when we get to that, we have a tendency as human compartmentalized to try to define and label, like, am I a good person? Am I a bad person? Am I whatever? We define our lives in dichotomies.
Sure.
When in actuality, we are like a diamond and we are capable of the full scope and spectrum of all human emotions at any given time. And some of the greatest changes in my life have come about when I scared the crap out of myself, when I realized that I was just a couple seconds away from tiptoeing into a person that I didn't want to be.
Yeah.
It sounds like a little bit of that might have happened during that escalation, and that might have been a little bit of the motivation that you needed to that realization.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what was the first thing that you did once you got sober and started to work on yourself? Because ultimately addiction is nothing more than a way to pacify and subdue an underlying trauma. Absolutely. We try to cover up the pain and the hurt that we feel with some sort of addiction, some substance or person, something like that. So what was the first thing that you did when you realized that you needed to get to work on yourself and start your healing journey?
One of the first things I did was yes to going back to church, which is interesting, right? I had so much trauma around God. Raised in a fundamental Southern Baptist upbringing. I was going to hell by the time I was three, you know, fast. Right, yeah, you know, I was like, you're oh, show me how fast. Yeah. Right. And I'll do everything possible to prove you wrong, by the way. And so I said yes to going back to church, and I sat through the church service, and I was like, oh, this is, you know, same old same. And then the pastor invited everyone to the stage to pray together. And I'm standing there, you know, praying, and all of a sudden it was like I was consumed by the power and potency of the Holy Spirit. And I just started bawling. And it was in that moment that something just came within me and said, you're worthy, you're loved, you're so much more. And so that was kind of my first step, is finding my way back to the divine. And then from there, actually, it had to do with my physical pain.
I just got chills.
Yay! My physical pain was all-consuming as well. So I was battling with constant SI joint pain, kidney stones, just you name it. I was
kidney
miserable.
Stones are fun, aren't they?
Oh, they're so much fun.
You've had children and stones. Every time I meet a woman that's had both, I have to ask which is worse.
Well, let me just tell you what's worse. I was 7 months pregnant the first time I had five of them. That's some karma for all the things I did to my body.
I guess, right? So which is worse, passing a stone or giving birth?
Oh, God. You know, the two are right there together, but probably passing a stone. I ended up in 2011 having to have one removed. They had to go in and fish it out. Yeah, well, it got stuck at the top. Yeah, so that was probably the worst pain of my entire life. But I spent 8 years trying to figure out what was going on with my health in and out of the hospital. And then because of my history, my doctor did an x-ray and then looked at me and said, we don't know what's causing your pain. We think you're drug seeking. And I said, okay, well, I would like to see my x-rays and you're fired.
Right.
So I got my x-rays and it just
so
happened.
How long had you been sober at that time?
I had been sober at that time for about 5 years.
What a slap in the face.
Yeah.
There was a time where that might have been true. It's like, I'm sober. I'm on the path to trying to get my life together.
Right.
And become the person that you're meant to be. And their response is, we just think you're drug seeking.
Yeah. So that's exactly why I fired them. And I went home and it just so happened I had a coupon in the mail from a local chiropractor and nutrition response therapist. And I said, well, I'm armed with my x-rays. Let's go see what they have to say. And sure enough, they're like, oh yeah, we can see why you're in pain. Oh gee, you know, your pelvis is slanted and tilted. You have scoliosis. You know, this is wrong, that's wrong. And that's when the deep path through holistic healing really started for me.
That's amazing. I want to go back to something that you said, standing on the stage at the church was the first time that you felt like you were worthy.
Yeah.
That you deserved love, that intrinsically you are loved. Yeah. When I was sitting on the park bench and it said, if you don't stop what you're doing, we're going to take it back. It was the first time in my life that I realized that something or someone or some council or deity or something, some entity wanted me here more than I wanted. The first in my life that I felt that I was intrinsically loved, that I was worthy. So that's definitely a through line. What was it about that experience? Can you kind of put your finger on it? Why that came to you or what that felt like?
It's really indescribable. It was like the warmth of a motherly love. Like me, and this is an individual experience, of course, the Holy Spirit is a mother essence. So it was just this overwhelming, all-consuming sensation that flooded my body. It was on a cellular level. It opened my heart. It broke down all those, you know, layers of building up protection and just set me free. It felt like I'd been set free.
Yeah, the reason that I don't want to gloss over or underappreciate, undervalue your physical healing journey. That's definitely something that I want to get into. But for me, this sense of feeling intrinsically loved is really important to talk about right now, because you don't have to turn on CNN very long or jump on Facebook very long or just pay any sort of attention to what's happening in the world today to realize that there's a lot of people walking around with a deep-rooted sense of hurt.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Carrey said that beware the unloved, for that they always end up either hurting themselves or others.
Yeah.
I've often said that not all hurting people hurt people, but all people who hurt people are hurting. Yeah. And there's a lot of hurt going around right now. There's a lot of people walking around the world today that don't have that sense that they are intrinsically lovable, that they are worthy and deserving of being loved, accepting love and loving back and having that received by others. And yeah, it's one of the things that I think we're both on a mission to help the world feel. Yeah. It's one of the things that we're doing with the Awe Kids program. Trying to start the youth off with 15 minutes a day of intentional breathing, intentional stretching, and intentional energy. It's one of the things that you're obviously doing with your sound healing, your Reiki, your cranial sacral, and all this, helping a person to remove the blockages and all these paradigms that help, that keep them from being able to see their highest self and feel that intrinsic love. So I would like to explore that a little bit more. Okay. What is it about what you do that helps a person get to that state, to realize that?
So I would say accessing the kingdom within.
What does that mean to the lay person?
So that means that I'm actually connecting to that inner wisdom, that inner physician, that inner intelligence that is the soul that resides within the physical body. It's really tapping into that central nervous system and allowing the stuck energies, the traumas, the whatever needs to move, to move. It just gives it space and intention to do so. And of course, I set my intentions and create a container in which I am calling in the light and all of the forces for the light and the power of the Holy Spirit into every single session. And so when you create that container with that intention and that energy, then it's amazing what can happen for people.
It's like we walk around all day rubbing Vaseline over our glasses and we just simply can't see what really is. And you come along with these tools, these different techniques, all these modalities that we've known for millennia.
Yeah.
And it's like coming by with a little microfiber cloth and wiping the glass clean so we can see who we really are meant to be.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your physical healing journey now.
Yeah.
What was it about that first chiropractor experience and keep us going down that path?
Yeah. So my very first experience was that I actually felt different. I felt some relief. Whereas, you know,
and there was some reason that was causing it that you weren't.
Yeah.
Just
and there, right. Exactly. Like I actually was starting to get answers
right
as to what was going on within my body. And obviously when you're destructive to your temple is going to crumble, right?
Naturally.
Right. Naturally. Like I was in full awareness of that, but I was never taught nutrition. You know, I grew up like literally with mayonnaise on white bread, putting it in the broiler to feed me and my brother, like,
right,
you know, box baby, whatever you want to call that. Mm. So I didn't have the tools necessary to understand what nutrition really was. I got a glimpse of that with my aunt, thankfully, in the 4 years that she cared for me. But I was rebellious. And I was like, you know, I don't like that. And all of those
That's
sorts
weird
of things.
Yeah.
And so the nutrition response therapist guided me gently and through supplements and through the encouragement of slowly integrating a better diet.
And giving you hope. I mean, the only thing worse than feeling like crap every day is feeling like there's nothing you can do about it.
Absolutely.
There was a period in my life where I had a headache every day for about 5 years. Every single day. It didn't matter what I did. Didn't matter how much water I drank. It didn't matter how many ibuprofen I took. It didn't matter the acupuncture, the chiropractor, the Botox. Nothing helped. Every time I went in and did MRIs, they did endocrine studies, they did all these blood work. Every time it was you're fine. You're a healthy male. And the only thing worse than feeling like crap is feeling like there's nothing you can do about it. So getting a little bit of hope and actually seeing some results, I can see why that made such a profound impact. So what was the next step?
So the next step then was my neighbor. Her name is Robin. Love her.
Hi, Robin.
She offered to barter with me, where she would do neuromuscular massage therapy and I would watch her children. And so that really started to create some huge shifts in my body that combined with the chiropractic. I did chiropractic for 3.5 years straight, and I came to a space where I needed something more. And
you
so
sort of plateaued.
Yeah, I totally plateaued. So then I did neuromuscular massage therapy. And then I was introduced to craniosacral.
Okay.
Which craniosacral, just one session, which Brandy, I miss you. Craniosacral was like this miracle had just happened. It was taking the neuromuscular and the chiropractic and then unwinding anything else that was remaining. And I had never felt so good.
So you're certified in craniosacral now. Can you explain to our listeners what that actually means?
Yeah. So what that means is I'm working from cranium to sacrum, just as it sounds. No more than 5 grams of pressure. And I am identifying where within the central nervous system there are restrictions. And I'm inviting and encouraging the restrictions to unwind and the cerebral spinal fluid to be able to flow freely from cranium to sacrum.
So there's like little blockages in our spinal cord that's keeping this flow from going smoothly, or what's the deal?
So it can be in the myofascial system.
Okay.
It could be in the skeletal system. The cranium tends to be a huge space for people where they have even as far back as birth trauma. So, you know, we once thought that once our skull was fully developed, it didn't move.
Okay.
And Dr. Sutherland actually discovered that it did in fact move. And another cool tidbit is my great-grandfather, who was an osteopathic doctor, was trained by Dr. Sutherland.
Oh, weird.
And Dr. Still. Yeah.
Nice.
So the first time I did a cranial session, it was like, oh, I know exactly what I'm doing. Like, this is in my blood.
Right. This is genetic. Right?
Yeah.
It's in your heritage.
It really, really, really deeply is.
Nice.
And, you know, even back when my great-grandfather was practicing, his children, my grandparents, were called the Caxkids because he was getting people up and walking and they couldn't explain how or why, right?
Without drugs or surgery.
Exactly. Right. So.
Burn him at the stake. He's a witch.
Yeah, no doubt. He's a quack, you know, so wild. But so then I did craniosacral therapy. And then from there, like, I just continued to be exposed to a number of different modalities. I had a friend who was learning Jinshin, which is a Japanese form of acupressure, which happens to be a rediscovered lost art, like pre-Moses, pre-Buddha. She was like, hey, I'm learning this modality. I'm going to be needing people to work on. Are you interested? And I was like, absolutely. Sign me up. Yeah, it's free.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, she started being able
I'll
to
be your guinea pig.
Yeah. She started moving energy I didn't even know existed. I started feeling things within my body that was like, what in the world is this machine I'm living in? You know? And she did a kidney flow, ironically enough, because I was still having kidney stones at the time. She did a kidney flow on me for 6 months. I didn't have a kidney stone after my year of Jinshin once a week. I did not have another kidney stone for 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Now it's been too long. She's moved away. So I haven't had as much Jinshin.
What's the difference between Jinshin and Reiki?
So Jinshin is 26 energy points.
Okay.
Along the body. That's very specific. Each point is associated with a physical, mental, and spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. And it's like acupressure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar to acupuncture, but it's far easier than acupuncture. And because I have a positive and a negative charge, right? Mm-hmm. We all do. And your body has a positive and a negative for me to hook up to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically like I'm charging your battery.
Okay.
And the beautiful thing is because it's hands-on, we're sharing an exchange. So whatever my energy has to benefit you and vice versa, that's how that works.
sounds like people need to be very careful that they find the right practitioner to do these things if they're going to be exchanging energy with people.
Absolutely.
What do you do to, I don't want to tangent too much, but what do you do to keep yourself clear and clean and whole when you're taking on all these different things with all these clients that you're working with? Because you work with a myriad of different traumas,
yeah,
emotional, physical, and whatnot. So what do you do for your own self-healing?
I have a daily routine, morning and evening. So before I work with a client and at the end of the day, absolutely. And then I'm a firm believer that I have to do the work to do the work.
Right.
So I get the work, right? Yes. So I have a craniosacral therapist. I have, I mean, such a beautiful community of people who will offer me any kind of healing that I need. So I access that. I try to access that at least once a week, something of some sort. Recently, I've been doing the Quantum Pulse in Greeley, which is this amazing divine design of the human Tesla machine.
Okay.
It looks like something straight out of Star Wars. It's really cool. And so once a week, I'm committed to going and doing that and just really being mindful. Like if I am not feeling well in my body, I do my best to not see clients that day. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but I make sure that I communicate, hey, I'm not feeling super well today. You still want to continue a session with me, you know, because there are days where my ankylosing spondylitis will flare up and I still have to.
And you can't be of service. You don't want to pass any of that on.
Right.
What is your evening routine?
So my evening routine consists of breath work, Kundalini yoga. Kundalini yoga is my favorite type of yoga. I will often do meditation, prayers. I really try to mix my routine up a little bit, but Kundalini yoga is definitely a staple in my daily routine.
That seems to clear things out the most for you.
Absolutely. Okay. Because it's breath work, movement, and mantra.
Well, I've often described myself as a brawny sponge. Like my whole life, before I even knew what an empath and an HSP was, I always felt like I was crazy. And I felt like I was constantly picking up and absorbing the energy of the people around me. Mm. I would give a hug and be a confidant for a friend that was depressed or contemplating suicide or something like that. And 2 or 3 days later, I would just be a wreck. And I'd be like, where is this even coming from? Yeah. This isn't mine. There's no way this is mine. I'm having a good day. The sun's shining. What is this crap? And when I found Qigong and when I started to realize what empaths and HSPs were, and realized that most of the stuff that I was feeling and most of the stuff that I was carrying around was actually probably somebody else's that I picked up from the week. So sharing these daily practices on the things that you do as a professional to keep yourself grounded and clear and whole and get rid of the stuff that isn't useful and healthy for you is probably really nice for us to share to other people as well.
Yeah. Well, and I've been equipped and blessed with, you know, all of these beautiful tools right at my disposal. So once a week, I even, you know, we'll get in the sauna. I often take Epsom salts baths because that's a fantastic way of clearing anybody else's energy. So that's pretty regular.
I only have a shower. I can't tell you how many days per week I'm pissed off that I can't take an Epsom salt bath. You can ask Michaela. I'm constantly saying, I need a bath. So yeah, for sure. I need a sauna too. We've been talking about that for a while.
Yeah, or a foot soak, you know, any kind of Epsom salts access, whether it's your hands or feet, is going to benefit you. So.
Nice.
And then grounding, lots of sunshine. I go to the hot springs once a month. Like I make that a routine. Mm-hmm. Everything I do, I really do mindfully and making sure that I can be at my best for my clients. I'm working with babies now.
Right.
Even more important.
So you have to make sure that you're vibrating at the top level. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It's eerie how many massage therapists that I've been friends with over the years that have ended up with very severe illness.
Yeah.
And I mean severe, like everything you can imagine, different forms of cancers and you name it.
Yeah.
And it's like you work all day in close contact with other people and you're dealing with their densest most negative, unhealthy, saddest emotions, and you're picking up some of that stuff, and sooner or later it ends in disease.
Yeah.
And if we don't make this a daily practice for ourselves, it's pretty nice that this is your life and this is your profession and this is what you do, because I find it really difficult to do the things that I know that I need to do because it doesn't feel urgent. You know that you have to do a daily practice because you have 3 more clients tomorrow that you have to be top notch for.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, it's not until I'm on the verge of tears that I'm like, oh, I need to do something to take care of myself. It's been a week since I even meditated. I need some help, Nora, please. Exactly. I want to go back to this sense of pain that we see in the world.
Yeah.
I think it correlates nicely to the self-care that we're talking about. I think there's definitely a through line there. Where do you think a lot of this pain and hurt that people are walking around with is coming from in the world?
Oh my gosh, generational trauma. Mm. I mean, we are dealing with, on a cellular level, everything that belongs to both of our parents and then their parents and up to 7 generations. I think that's a huge part of it
for people.
Sure.
What is generational trauma or intergenerational transference for the people that don't really haven't heard of that before?
Yeah. So it gets encoded in our DNA, literally on a cellular level. And that memory, that fabric of our parents and their parents, and that all gets transferred to the fetus.
So when we go through something traumatic, if we have emotional trauma or physical trauma that changes our genetic code, mm-hmm. and then we pass that on to our children, grandchildren, and things like that.
Yeah, if we don't do the work, okay. Right? If we're not doing daily practices or, you know, seeking ways to heal that trauma, we're just carrying it on to the next generation. Most people don't have the tools. They don't know how.
Right.
They don't know what to do. Which is why I think we've seen a huge rise in people seeking medicine ceremonies, right? People are seeking ayahuasca or shamanic journeys
or peyote or cacao. DMT.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. People are actually in this space of awareness that we are in a super crisis here as humanity. And so they're wanting to get to the root of that darkness. And these medicines are offering a gateway in order to do that.
Right.
And so we have seen exponential growth.
It's nice that they're actually starting to use some of these and they're being approved.
Yeah.
For the longest time, we've known that these are available to us and the FDA and whatnot has been preventing us from being able to utilize them. It's nice that like in Colorado and I think Oregon and a few other places, like you can actually have psilocybin for personal use and they're actually utilizing ketamine and DMT in studies for PTSD and all these different traumas that have proven really, really effective. And you're right. I think something at a core level knows that there's something more, that we're capable of living a higher, brighter life. There's a more true, authentic, lovely version of who we are that's meant to be existing in the world, and it's calling to us. Our soul is seeking this higher version of ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're seeing, like, at a systemic level, that the reality is there isn't a lot of care, right? Mm-hmm. Our FDA is failing us. The CDC is failing us. You know, like, our governments are failing us. You know, our food is toxic. Our air is toxic. What we're being shown on TV every day is just trauma, 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 fear, 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 be fearful. You mm-hmm. know, just that is such an assault on our body and mm-hmm. every layer of our body that, yeah, we're in a pretty critical stage for multiple reasons, right? Yeah.
What can we do about it? Because I think a lot of people are walking around with this sorrow or this fury, so much anger or hatred or frustration or despair and sorrow, sadness, and they don't know what's available and they don't know what to do about it. What can the average person like you and I or the person listening to this do on a daily basis? What can we do about what's happening in society today?
all else save God, first and foremost, right? Like seek your creator. I think that has to be the daily commitment, is just getting silent and listening to that still small voice that is the divine, and then finding things that people are saying works, you know, find a Reiki practitioner, a cranial sacral therapist, or, you know, an EMDR therapist, like really being able to get plugged into the resources out there. A sound bath. Sound baths are affordable.
Right.
Sound baths are effective. They move energy. You're going to sleep better than you've ever slept in your entire life after a sound bath.
I know some people that could use a better night's sleep, myself included.
Well, I'm excited that you'll be able to get that this evening after our session. So,
shoot, forgot what I was going to go. Did I interrupt you? Keep going.
You know, breath work, accessing our breath, YouTube. I mean, we have technology that has so many resources that are free at our fingertips. Meditation, soflagio frequencies. I could go on and on. There are so many things that we can do, small things every single day that can make little improvements until they become big improvements.
I think the point that we're both trying to make is that we're capable and deserving of so much more. The existence that we're living is a half life compared to what our potential is.
Yeah.
And all we need to do is start the journey, begin the search. There are literally thousands of things out there that can help us on this path, help facilitate our growth and our ascension to becoming the best version, the highest version of ourselves. And all we need to do is start seeking, try different things, even if it sounds funny, even if it sounds weird, even if we can hear our parents' voice in the back of our head saying, this is some woo-woo crack. Have no idea. Just try it. Give it a try. If it feels good, if it feels right to your soul, listen to it, follow it, give it a shot. And like Nora and I have both done, just begin the journey, try new things. What has been the greatest piece of advice that you've ever heard or received in your life that you would like to share?
Oh, wow. I've really had just so much wealth of wisdom, but I feel like the thing that's always stuck with me is if you dwell on your past, it only affects your future. Yeah. So getting out of that tape recording of, oh, the trauma, oh, this, oh, that, you know, just remembering that that is the past and you can do something different today.
That's like that quote, this is harboring resentment is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies.
Yeah.
I think we know this to be true. Again, at a deep, authentic, intrinsic level, we know this to be true, that the more time we spend living in the past, the further from today's opportunities we get. I think there's some people in the Department of Education in the school system that could probably use a reminder of this, because we keep trying to teach history to get rid of history and to change the future, and just doesn't seem productive. But
that's very true. I mean, we are being called to something entirely new as far as our education is concerned.
Yeah.
It's an outdated system.
Yep. I love that. Spend less time worrying about yesterday's traumas. Spend less time focusing on the history and the past. Obviously, there are some things that each and every one of us can probably heal from. But the more time we spend dwelling on that, the further from today's opportunities we get.
Yeah.
Please tell the audience how they can find you, what sort of things you have coming up, how they can get in touch with you. I think I have this on here I prepared. Bam. Pursuitofvitality.com. That's the right website.
Correct? That is the right website. Correct.
Technology.
Yeah.
I did a thing.
So up and coming, I am considering doing aquas cranial sacral. So cranial sacral in the water.
Sweet. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's amazing. I work out of Aquas Wellness Arts in Fort Collins, and we do a Watsu sound bath once a month. And I just really want to work with craniosacral in the water. So it's warm water. And I'll also include some of my crystal bowls, whatever crystal bowls is, is being called to the individual, in the water. So I actually clear your aura while you're floating.
Beautiful.
So that's coming up. That's new. And then on November 30th, we are doing the Star House in Boulder, which is huge. It's a very sacred temple. It sits on a quartz crystal and is just so intentionally designed. We'll be offering cacao with that sound bath. So that's exciting.
What other services do you, because we're in your studio here.
Yeah.
I see we're sitting next to a sauna. Far infrared sauna. What other services do you provide here in your office, in your studio here?
Sure. So I do reflexology. I do access consciousness. I do full detox package. I can do group packages. I have both analog as well as digital sound healing ability. I have an biomat. I have lumaceutical light therapy. Oh my goodness, aromatherapy. I mean, pretty much, if you can think of it, I'm
Jin Shin, cranial sacral, you name it, Nora's got it.
Yeah.
Any special offerings coming up? Any discounts or anything that the users can get a hold of you and try out what you do?
Absolutely. Okay. So for this podcast especially, I would like to offer a 30% discount for all new clients. and then, you know, after the holidays, I'm going to be offering important self-care packages at $22 a person. So you'll be able to come in and explore everything it is I do for $22, which is amazing.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So. This has been so wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Nora.
Thank you.
Remember, everybody, we are capable and deserving of so much more. We deserve to feel loved, to receive love, and we are capable of showing up in the world in a much higher form than what we're currently living. I love you all. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks.
Thank you, Nora. 'Thank you so much for listening to today's interview. I hope there's something in there that inspired you. I hope you're feeling empowered and awed, and something spoke to your soul and resonated with your heart. If you're interested in contacting today's guest, please check the show notes, follow him on Facebook, or send him an email. As always, please subscribe, rate, and review, and share this podcast with anybody that you know that might benefit from its message. This has been BC from A World Empowered, wishing you the very best. I love you all. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.